Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
6:31 and the start of a new series on Tuesday evenings from the Pavilion. Original title, to explain it all, is Ollie Slack. Hello, Ollie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Good,
so
yeah.
This is kind of the cricket take on From the Terraces,
yeah,
really, isn't
it's
it?
It's just a show, really, yeah. No, it's no sort of starting as the summer, as there's no football and rugby or many other sports, really. Cricket takes...
No football for at least a fortnight.
Yeah, exactly, until the World Cup starts. Yeah, cricket takes sort of centre stage, and we're going to be starting a show across a number of weeks, on Tuesdays at 6:30, just to talk about local cricket with guests in the studio, and... and then we'll be hopefully talking about England in a positive light. Not always, but lots to talk about. And on today's show, we'll be talking about Cambridgeshire, the county, as they went top of the T20 group after back-to-back victories against Norfolk on Sunday. And with one round of fixtures still to play, bowler Sam Rippington will be telling us all about it in the studio. The Pepper Brothers hit a combined score of 316 for Cambridge Cricket Club, formerly known as Granter, on Saturday at Bury St Edmunds, but they managed to hold on for a draw. That was in the East Anglian Premier League. And we'll also be talking about England. Well, they lost only their fourth ever home match in May. And there's some big questions for Bayliss, Root and selector Ed Smith. So welcome to From the Pavilion. Lots to talk about, as just said. And Sam Rippington is in this year. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you in the show. And let's get stuck into the victory on Sunday then. Two T20 games against Norfolk at Norfolk. You won the first match by 55 runs. Tell us about it. What a victory.
A fantastic start to the day, actually. We rocked up pretty early on, would have been Sunday morning at Manor Park, just outside Norwich. And we came across a really strong Norfolk team. On paper, they looked really strong. But we managed to put a decent score on the board, probably 20 short of where we needed to be. But we bowled really well, stuck to our plans, and came away with a victory early doors. So.
Yeah, and looking at sort of the scorecard, we got 63 from Ed Ballard and Ben Seabrook with four wickets, and wickets for yourself as well. Starting with Ed, got his figures over here. He's averaging 54 in his seven innings so far, 325 runs, highest score of 98 and 250. He's been pretty pivotal for you so far this season, then?
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. He's just come over from Hertfordshire, so I played against him, first met him when he was playing for Hertfordshire probably 4 or 5 years ago. And this year he decided to play white ball cricket for us, and he's a fantastic player. He's had a lot of sort of second team cricket, and he's been a fantastic club cricketer, premier grade cricketer for sort of 10 years, so it's fantastic to have him on board, and he strikes a really, really clean ball. So to have him at the top of the order gets us off to a flight, which is fantastic. So.
Brilliant, and Ben Seabrook as well. I was actually, it's my probably as close to county cricket as I'm ever going to come. He's in my geography class in A-levels. But anyway,
better than Georgina on a Thursday, who knows most of South Cambridgeshire
there
personally.
Four wickets for him, and I was looking actually back at his record. I was quite amazed he played in against Essex, the one that was rained off early in the season. Was it the friendly game at Fenners, I think it was, for Essex or against Essex?
Yeah, he's had a few gigs around the country, so he's just got himself an academy contract at Durham, which is fantastic for him and fantastic for us as little cricketers, because you get our sort of youngsters getting sort of academy contracts and club contracts. I know Mikey Pepper's obviously another one. He's got himself a contract at Essex. So any opportunity for the young cricketers in the county to get these gigs is fantastic. So
that's incredible. And in sort of his age, then, how does he go off to Durham, and when does he play for Cambridgeshire? What's the relationship between the two?
So he plays Cambridge MCCU as well. So he plays the uni cricket, and then he disappears off to Durham, and his commitments to them are sort of Saturdays and then hopefully twos cricket.
Yeah.
So the academy play in the Saturday league, so the Premier Comp up there, and then hopefully twos cricket during the week. So
do they have first dibs on him if they need him for something? Say, if I don't know, if there's a rash of injuries all of a sudden, they'd call him, and Cambridgeshire, tough basically.
Yeah, any opportunity for someone to get sort of any sort of professional cricket would be fantastic for Cambridgeshire as a whole. So I think we all support him in that sense. It's obviously disappointing he's not playing for Cambridgeshire sometimes, but these guys are going away and they're playing cricket a higher standard, and it's fantastic for.
I suppose in a roundabout way, it's possibly no different to say, I don't know, Yorkshire or Surrey or Lancs, if some of their players end up being called up to the national squad. Nobody's really going to be disappointed about somebody playing for their country, even if it means the side is just ever so slightly weaker than it would otherwise be.
No, it's a fantastic opportunity, and I don't think you'd ever take it away from them. I mean, you want them to play for you, obviously, but if they can go off and be as good as they can be and try and excel themselves and get higher up in the ranks, then that's fantastic.
Really? Yeah, and that's true. I mean, what is it? Only 19, 18, 19?
19, yeah.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, How do the county sort of look for players of that age? Is it looking around are they set a level at, say, Eastern Premier League? Is it, or is it sort of one partners 1-2? What's the sort of level they look at?
Counties tend to take people on from quite a young age, so the opportunities as you get older do get a lot tougher. I know there's a few trickers floating around sort of the East Anglian Premier League, which is the one that we play in at Burwell, that probably could be good enough to get contracts and stuff, but it's very tough to get yourself an opportunity from club cricket. So you've got to look for places like Unicorns and probably minor counties cricket, and then obviously the university stuff is a fantastic opportunity to try and get yourself out there and get noticed. But from club cricket, it's quite hard. But all you can do is score runs and excel at what you do.
Yeah, and just touch on the university there. I mean, I saw it was announced last week or the week before, actually, that the MCC were pulling the funding, I think, in a couple of years, or 2020, a couple of years' time. Is that going to have a big impact on the game at the university level?
Hopefully it won't, because we've had news to last Thursday that ACB are taking over, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So they're hopefully going to carry on the funding after that. It's disappointing the MCC don't want to be involved anymore. Because obviously they've got their young cricketers program, and the facilities they provide are fantastic. But if the ECB can do just as good a job and provide the funding, then hopefully it won't be affected too much.
Yeah, I mean, I've got stats here that MCC have invested over £7.5 million in the six clubs, Cambridge, Cardiff, Durham, Leeds, Bradford, Loughborough and Oxford. And 18 cricketers have gone on to represent the country, have played at MCCU level, and then 119 have secured first-class county contracts. So hopefully that won't have too big of an impact. But I guess, is there going to be will it take time for sort of to rebuild or get the level up, or will it just sort of hopefully continue at the same level?
Hopefully it'll be a smooth transition. Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed, and then there'll be no sort of backlash from the MCC pulling out. It's quite a tough position for the MCC, I mean, but as you can see, it obviously works, the system works. Mm. You do get people coming out with first class contracts. And also at the same time, you're getting education as well, which I think is a massive thing, because obviously as sportsmen, elite sportsmen, you only get a certain lifespan as a career, so you've got to have something to back you up. So a lot of these guys who are playing cricket at the moment, they're trying to do degrees and all sorts, but the MCC is a perfect way of trying to combine the two. MCCU stuff, so fantastic.
Well, radio work like yourself, so.
I don't know.
And the second match now then on the day, that was a pretty more probably a nervy fixture. One by three wickets, but like you say, you just told me you needed two from two.
Yeah, it was a quite much closer game. I mean, I think we relaxed a little bit and thought we had the game. Sort of sat down at lunch and chilled out too much. And they got 195, which is a massive score in terms of, well, in comparison to the first game. I don't think we executed our plans.
That's over 20 overs, yeah?
20 overs, 20-20, yeah. So I don't think we executed our plans as we did in the first game as bowlers, and we didn't feel particularly well. But it's fantastic to come out of the win again. The batsmen, sort of Eddie and Callum Guest at the top of the order, were fantastic. And then a couple of younger lads at the end finishing it off. So.
Is it typical to play two 2020s back-to-back like that? I know we see it on the national finals day, but at the county level, is that something which often happens?
So minor counties, this is the first year we've really properly played 20 cricket in minor counties cricket. So it's always been a trophy and a championship, so 50-over comp and a three-day comp.
So what have you lost this year?
So this year there's less 50-over cricket, but we're maintaining the three-day stuff, so still play 6 3-days over the course of the summer. But the 2020 is now they've put a massive emphasis on 2020, so we're playing with 10 T20s, and then you do play them over. So instead of travelling to these places and playing once then going home, it's easier to get two games into a day. So it's not that much harder than playing a day's cricket.
I might as well play a 40-over game and have done with it, really.
So there's, like I say, three comps, the championship, then the knockout one, and then that's the 50-over one, yeah, and the T20. What's the most important for the counties? Is there a pinnacle?
I think everyone in terms of cricketers, as we want to win sort of the three-day comp. The three-day comp has got held some sort of prestige above the other comps. But obviously, with the emphasis now of cricket being on white ball cricket, so 50-over 2020, we this year targeted the more to the 50-over comp. But unfortunately, that is now a knockout, and we rocked up end of April, and we lost our first game, so we got knocked out straight away. But so now we're going to look to the 2020 and the white ball stuff in the 2020, which seems to be going really well. So,
and is that, I mean, I'll touch on it later for England, but in terms of the counties level, do you feel that has an impact then on the Red Bull game when you come off the back of maybe a period of a long spell of T20 games?
Massively. I mean, they do split the season up in county cricket between the white ball and the Red Bull stuff. I'm not a massive fan of it in terms of the fact that people who want to watch the longer format of the game then have a period of time where they can't watch any Red Bull cricket. And I feel like the players do adjust. So there is certainly a different way of playing 2020 cricket to Red Bull cricket, and it will affect performance. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, touched on, there's lots of talk, especially in the championship at the minute, about, well, the, in terms of the county championship, about how the pitches in April, May is very sort of bowler friendly, and batsmen have struggled a lot. Well, a lot of batsmen have struggled getting runs. Does that mean they should move it to June, or is it just, you know, the bowlers are putting the ball in the right area?
As a bowler, absolutely not. Yeah, no. They get their fun in sort of July and August when it's absolutely flat and we have to bowl all day at them and they just hit us out of the park. So we've got to have our fun at the beginning of the season, I think.
I was going to say, it's a batsman's game as it is already.
Yeah, it's too much for the batsman.
And just going on to then yourself, well, Burwell, obviously you didn't play on Saturday for Burwell, but is it a... You did play on Saturday. Is it difficult playing two games in a row and then another T20 game? Is it just what you have to do is playing for the county as well? Is it?
No, you kind of get used to it. I mean, there are Sunday leagues floating around. Not much Sunday cricket's played outside of sort of representative cricket, but we do it sort of day in, day out for university. So you're playing 3-4 days a week in the week, and then obviously you have to play on a Saturday. So sometimes you're playing 6 days a week. So yeah, you've got to try and manage your workload a bit, but. Yeah, you've got to make sure you get into the gym and you cool down, warm up, do the correct things, and hopefully your body gets through.
Yeah, and you set a target, or Sweat Sauce on a target of 272, but they chased it down, only losing 4 wickets. Was it a tough game? Or
it was a hard game, long game. Swartzen are a really, really strong side. One of the best sides in the club sides in the country. I mean, they've won the national champs probably 3 times in the last 10 years, so they're a really, really strong team. And we put a score on the board. Probably wasn't enough on the wicket. Wicket was quite flat and the really, really small ground. But I mean, we took 10 points away from it, and that's probably more than we expected to go at the end. Well, at the beginning of the day, if someone had said 10 points, we'd have taken it. So.
And we'll just mention the other Cambridge club quickly. Cambridge Cricket Club, formerly known as Granter, 316 combined for the Pepper brothers, Michael and Chris. And that's incredible, isn't it? And also, unfortunately, Bury St Edmunds managed to draw, but a quick word on them, that's terrific, isn't it? 316 combined, 216 for Michael Pepper and 100 for Chris.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, they're both fantastic cricketers. I know Michael's sort of in the last 3 years come on, and he's now one of the up-and-coming cricketers in the area. It's fantastic for us to have two really strong clubs in the county, really. And I say, those two guys on that wicket, unfortunately, Bury managed to block out for the draw. But, fantastic performers.
Brilliant. And after the break, with Julian's travel and a song, we'll be talking all things England as they manage to lose to Pakistan. Yeah, well, now we're going to talk about the England situation, the current state of affairs there. But just quickly, in next week's show, we'll be, and sort of weeks to come as well, we'll have a feature, an interview where, well, one of us, I guess, will be going out to interview a few people around the area, so the likes of Dan Heath from First Class, FCC, All Stars Cricket. Julian might be interviewing his nephew.
Yeah, but my nephew is 6, so I'm not entirely sure how coherent it is going to be.
We've got Tom Wesley, who's coming down from Essex to do a bit in the area as well, and hopefully Charlotte Edwards as well. So that's all to come in the next few weeks. That will be sort of at this period during the show. But due to England's quite large failings last week, we've extended the English debate for the next part of the show. So starting with the batting, or the batting, I guess, is it sort of, Sam, you can, I mean, as a bowler, you'd be best place to talk about the batting. But in terms of what went wrong, really, I mean, was it preparation? Is it mentality? I mean, a lot of these things have been thrown around in the last week or so, probably excuses or about county cricket. Is it good enough? Or is it just they didn't bat well enough?
I mean, the Pakistani lineup have got a really good bowling attack, and the conditions suited them. I think it was a strange decision from Joe Root to bat first. Looking at the conditions, I feel like we could have made use as well as they did. The batsmen didn't really apply themselves. I think it was a few soft dismissals, and as soon as you start losing wickets on a regular basis, you're never going to make a decent score.
So did England lose the match, or did Pakistan win it?
I want to say that Pakistan won it because. Want to show some fight, but we didn't help ourselves at all.
Because Pakistan had that, there was this test match in Ireland, which I thought was going to be rained off, but they somehow managed to squeeze it in. And that gave them, people, you know, in the commentary boxes always moaning about sides not getting enough practice. Well, what more practice could you ask for than playing a test match in pretty close to English conditions?
Yeah, I mean, that was fantastic for Pakistani lads to get out there. That's a historic moment for Ireland as well. I mean, they've obviously just become a test nation, and to get a side like Pakistan out there and then to compete for, I think it actually did go 5 days, to compete for 5 days, fantastic. And I think they showed a bit more fight than England did over the weekend, so yeah, good for Ireland.
And I think Mohammed Abbas as well, he said he played a few games for Leicestershire as well, and that sort of lends the subject to go and talk about preparation. Was that a key factor, really? I mean, lots of players. I mean, Butler and Stokes came from the IPL. I mean, I know Butler probably was England's best batsman in the game, but Broad and Anderson played a few county games. A few of them played a few county games, but probably not in terms of the rigorous preparation that Pakistan went through. Was that a factor?
Oh, preparation is massive. I mean, and the best thing they can do is get match practice. And I personally don't feel that some of the England boys get enough practice as such, in terms of the fact that they don't play enough first-class cricket. I know obviously they had a really tough winter in Australia and New Zealand and things, but to come back here and probably have a period of 6 to 8 weeks off where you say didn't get any match practice, I don't think is an acceptable level. I think as an elite athlete you have to be on your game week in, week out, and if you then go into a test match at Lords underprepared, you can only blame yourself.
And is that then a thing that's wrong with the structure of the county cricket? Because this is happening quite frequently, in obviously in the winter, but last summer as well. England had in the last few years they've lost a lot of test matches and also won a lot, but in terms of they haven't really consistently or convincingly won series. Is this a problem with county cricket, that the national team aren't necessarily getting that much cricket in the county championship? Because a lot of England players as well also play the white ball stuff, the ODIs.
I think if you look back through cricket, say 20, 30 years ago, international cricketers play for their counties on a regular basis. And if you look at it now, a lot of these international guys rarely play cricket for their counties after the month of April. So they'll probably play maybe a university game, a couple of four-day games, and that'll be it. And then they'll just play test matches. I'm a massive believer in as much game practice as you can. And they all come in a bit undercooked, I think, in terms of like Mohammed Abbas is a perfect example of a guy who played regular cricket in the conditions in England, and now he's exploiting the conditions again in Test cricket. So,
And then looking ahead to the next Test then, that starts on Friday, any changes for you in the lineup, or is it just too simplistic to say changes in the lineup will fix the problems?
I still think you've got on paper a really, really strong side. I don't think that changing it, everything's going to make a difference. I think change at the top needs to happen. I know that Jennings has come to the squad instead of Stoneman, so that's a massive moment for Jennings. And he's obviously played Test cricket before, and he's scoring runs as well up north, which is a lot harder than down south. So a really good opportunity for him. In terms of the bowling attack, I'm not sure on what we could do in terms of changing up at the moment. But certainly you've got to look at things like Broad, Anderson, maybe Woke should have been on the side on a slow, low deck that didn't really do too much in terms of pace. So it's maybe playing someone like Woke instead of Wood might be an option.
And just touching on Woke's instead of Wood, there was a few people also after the test match who did make that claim. But then I remember also back in the winter when England played Australia, I remember a few people on Sky and across the digital platforms were saying that England need to prepare better for away tours and perhaps weaken their home form a bit to suit their away form better. So, for example, bring in a Wood for a Wokes or a Wood for a Broad, etc., to make sure they're better prepared for away tours.
I just think it was a bit backward thinking. I remember I saw a tweet from a friend that on the quick bouncy pitches in Australia, we played Wokes, who's a swing bowler, and then on the slow pitches in May in England, we played our quickest bowler, who doesn't do as much with it, but Wokes would be more suited to England, and then would be more suited to Australia. So I'm not sure about this selection in terms of what England were thinking. I know that obviously Wokes offers a bit more of the bat, but so maybe they're worried about like being exploited and Australians running through the batting order. But if you're going to play him as a bowler, I think they've got it completely the wrong way around in terms of Wokes and Wood.
And you also saw that, and I mean, probably should be talking about the Ashes. I mean, although it was quite embarrassing, we've got to keep talking about it. But
slightly for a moment, I was worried you'd be talking about the next Ashes.
Yeah, yeah, but there was a time where a ball came in and he obviously bowls up top for Notts, opens the bowling. Wokes usually opens the bowling for Warwickshire as well. And they're both swing bowlers, really. Is that, I suppose, as you're a bowler, if you're playing in a side, you want to do what best suits you and what suits your skill set?
Yeah, I mean, and talking about these guys here, there's lots of other bowlers like them floating around county cricket who have got the skills to be able to play international cricket. I mean, so Ball's a fantastic young talent, and obviously Wokes has been around for a long time. But they come in and they bowl first change. Why not use? Why not give them the new ball? I mean, they do it for county cricket day in, day out, and they produce results. Why not give them the new ball? I mean, we can't do any worse than we did last week, so.
And obviously we've got to give credit to Pakistan, like you said earlier, and Mickey Arthur and Azhar Mahmood as well. It seemed like they've really moulded this young Pakistani side into like a very, well, that's obviously one test match, but seemed last week that a very strong test outfit. But is it sort of an indication then of where England are slightly lacking at the minute because they're an older side and they've got a lot of players who have been in the dressing room for a while. Perhaps Bayliss or Root haven't been able to maybe get their message across as clear-cut as Pakistan did.
No, I mean, Pakistan are fantastic at the minute. I mean, they've come in with a really young side. A bunch of people who haven't played much first-class cricket. I know there's not much first-class cricket goes on in Pakistan at the minute. So they've come in, they're just a bunch of young guys with a lot of talent, and they've put them together and they've moulded them in a way that they're going to succeed, and they've created a successful atmosphere in the change room. I know that, obviously, it's a bit different for someone like Joe Root coming to captaincy when you've got so many stalwarts and so many people who've been around for so long. One suggestion would be maybe completely mix it up and go back to basics and try and get together a young, talented team and sort of build through there through the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's another way to look at it. But you can't help think for people like Cook and Anderson and Broad who've got these sort of these records. So
yeah, I mean, I remember that the ODI side as well, and that got to a pretty, well, as low as it could possibly get after the 2015 World Cup. Morgan was given a clean slate, picked a lot of new and young faces, and that obviously, I guess, made it easier to people to follow him in his direction. And is it too early to be suggesting that for the England side, for the Test side?
Oh, I mean, we've only played one Test match this summer, so if we go and then beat Pakistan at the end of the week and then beat India, then people will be saying other things. But if this goes on for the rest of the summer, something that Morgan did was fantastic, which is bringing young talent, that can quite easily happen. So I can see that.
Brilliant. Well, I think that pretty much rounds it up for today. So thank you very much for coming in.
No worries.
Sam, I'll just run through the fixtures for next week. Cambridgeshire's next match is actually on the 17th of June, and that's the last round of the T20 against Bedfordshire. So best of luck for that. Hopefully you'll get through the finals day, which is late August, is it?
Yeah, late August. Be fantastic.
Brilliant, yeah. Exactly. That'd be brilliant for the county. Yeah, Cambridge CC travel to Copdock and Old Ipswich. That is on Saturday. Burwell and Exeting face Mildenhall, and England look to level the series against Pakistan and avoid losing their first home series since 2014 when they in the Test match on Friday.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ollie, as well. So we'll do some more chat from the pavilion this time next week. Stansted Airport, still some problems there on the flights. We've got delays of about 40 minutes on Greater Anglia, still between Ipswich and Cambridge. Roads are looking pretty clear by the looks of things. Thanks very much for your company. Tony Della is coming up next with Northern Soul. And that's after the latest news, which is coming up now with Elizabeth from the Sky News Centre. I'll see you tomorrow at 4:00.